be seated. I would just like to say, Jim, great job. That was kind of a booger of a reading. And you did an awesome job, buddy. Well done. Just my second public service announcement of the day. Rebecca Sigler, who had it first service, asked me about some of the names. And she said, is this how I say it? And I said, you know what? I don't know. But just sound like you're speaking as one with authority, and you'll be fine. So there you go. If you're ever reading and don't know the word, just say it with gusto, because most people don't know, maybe even the pastor, how to do it right. So, right, yeah, look at Jim. He's like, yes, right, say it with gusto. So well done, well done. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this time together and for the wonderful way in which you bring your word to us, even if they are hard words that we can't pronounce. But, Lord God, they are word. It is a word indeed, a word of hope, a word of promise, a word of peace. Indeed, we live into that gift each and every day, and especially as we gather together for worship on this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I shared with you that this text, this first reading from Isaiah, is really a central reading from this aspect. It tells us and gives us a story, a narrative that continues to play itself out over and over and over and over and over again in our lives individually and in our lives collectively as the people of God. For you see, at the very center of this reading, at the center of this text, is the reality that the thing that most can get in the way of our living our lives of faith, the thing that can get most in the way of us trusting God in the midst of our lives, is fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of the known. Fear of those things that can hurt us, perhaps physically or maybe even worse, emotionally or spiritually. Fear of those things that are a part of a changing world around us of which we're not as familiar or unsure of. Fear of all the possibilities of negativity that can happen both in our lives, personally, professionally, and in the relationships we hold most dear. Fear is the greatest threat to our lives of faith. And we see it played out here in this reading today. You know, there's a lot of fear that was happening here. There was the fear of knowing what had just happened to their cousins, their brothers and sisters in the northern kingdom. They had seen them taken away and defeated. They had seen their leaders killed. They had seen their other people taken and assimilated into a whole new culture. They are known to us today traditionally as the 10 lost tribes of Israel. And so they had seen, they saw what was right before them, what had happened to those who were so near and dear to them. And so when King Sennacherib comes to them, see, that's an example of me just saying a word and sounding authoritative. Sennacherib comes to Hezekiah, and he comes to him, and interestingly enough, what he does is he sends someone who can talk to the Hebrew people in their own language. Notice that. Notice how powerful that is. Because so often, fear will come to us in a way that we can understand it. Fear will come to us in ways that it's hard for us to dismiss. It is not unfamiliar to us. Indeed, it is very familiar to us. Perhaps the fear that we feel when we've received a diagnosis that we know a friend has had or a family member. Perhaps it comes to us from the words of someone whom we know very well, who tells us something that is so hurtful and so difficult to relate to and experience. Perhaps it comes to us from the very own words of our holy book. Or perhaps in the gathering of a community of faith. See, fear is sneaky like that. It comes to us in a way that we can't understand it. And that's exactly what Sennacherib does. By sending his emissaries forward to them and to speak to them in their own language. to make sure that the fear is one that they can understand. And it is real, isn't it? And he challenges them at a very base level. He says to them, don't trust those people that you trust. Don't trust your king. Don't trust your God. Because remember, see, look at all these other little towns over here and their gods. Did their God save them? No, they did not. What makes you think your God will save you? And you know what? That is not something that is foreign to our world today, is it? You know, dictators know. And people that have tried to control other people know that if you can get them to live in fear, then they will not do the things that they normally would do when they are comfortable. No, they make people uncomfortable by having them live in fear. And when they live in that fear, they are unable to process and do the things that would be life-giving instead. And indeed, we know this in our world too. Because how many times in our own life have the fears that can often encompass us boil themselves up, just like the emissaries from Assyria asked of the people in Judah? And how often have we thought or had people say to us, how can you believe in a God of love when there's so much pain and brokenness and addiction in this world? How can you believe in a God of peace when there is war and there are terrorists and there are fights among people and even in your church? How can you believe in a God of reconciliation when there are people who you in the church will shun because perhaps they have a different partner or they have a different life or perhaps they look different or perhaps they're not welcome in your neck of the woods? You see, people do that, don't they? Your gods can't save you. Your gods can't do this. Because look at all the evidence to the contrary in our world that your God is failing. And when I hear that, and when I see that, that causes me to have fear. Fear of all the people that tell us that the role of the church is dwindling in society and there are more people now who don't believe in God or have just become done with God than there's ever been before. Who tell us, you in America, you're on the road to being like Europe, where your churches will be nothing more than a tourist site one day. Yeah, those words from those who were sent from Assyria to Hezekiah, those emissaries are still there. They're still coming into our world that can often be filled with fear. They can tell me that how can you believe in this God when there are so many difficult things and bad things happening in this world? And we, like Hezekiah, can often go, oh my goodness, and just start tearing our hair out and doing all of those acts and then wonder what to do next. And here, friends, is the gift of this reading. Because in all of his fear, in all of his stress, in all of his uncertainty, Hezekiah does do something profound. He gazes upon God by calling Isaiah, the prophet. Even though all of this evidence is that they're getting ready to be run over and taken over, and oh my goodness, what's going to happen? He says, well, I better at least give God one more shot. And when he does, hear these words from Isaiah. The very first word, because remember, the greatest thing that keeps us from living our lives of faith is fear. And the very first word from God in this experience from Isaiah is do not be afraid. Tackles it right off the bat. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Don't worry about what you've heard. Don't worry about that, God says. Trust in me. And here's the thing. It is that simple. And that hard, but it is that simple. You see, we in the church who seek to be a light upon the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hid, to be a light, a beacon of hope in this world, means that we continually remind each other, do not be afraid. For ours is the God who has come near, and ours is the God that does crazy things, like change swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. Ours is the God that takes instruments of destruction, instruments of pain, instruments of domination, and He turns those around, hey, maybe an instrument of pain and domination like a cross, and turns it around into something about growth and nourishment and renewal and life. Plowshares and pruning hooks and a cross. Ours is that God. Ours is the God that isn't worried and is not defined by all of the brokenness and the pain in this world. No, ours is the God that can actually do something with that. See, that's where the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, missed the point. He thinks power is about domination. It's about swords and spears and winning. When the God of Isaiah knows that you need not be afraid, because I am the God who takes all of that fear and all of that pain and all of that brokenness, and I am the God who turns that upside down so that this world can see yet again that our God has a new way and a new vision and a new light for our darkness. Because ours is the God who then comes into the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome the light of the peace of God. In your life, in our life together, the life of the world, ours is the God who says, do not be afraid, for I am the God of peace, of renewal, and of new life out of death. The only way we know there's light is because we also know there's darkness. But ours is the God of both. Ours is the God over both. And ours is the God who will turn the swords and the spears of pain and brokenness and destruction and uncertainty and shame in your life. Ours is the God who will turn those into the plows and the pruning hooks of new life and new hope and new promise for you. As we trust our God each and every day, know that you are trusting the God who has come near, who takes brokenness and makes it whole, who takes darkness and brings His light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.